I know I mentioned this earlier, but I eat, breathe, live, sleep, social. I love it so much. But that's not how I started in Advent. And it's not what I had my degree in. My degree is in hospitality management. And I do truly have had a passion for hospitality events. I love that. But I did kind of shift my career during the pandemic when there was a big pause in the hospitality industry. So I transitioned at Advent, and I was really open with them with my skill set, what my interests were. And they were saying that they saw me in the marketing team. So I was like, absolutely, I trust you. If you're saying that that's where you see I'd be a good fit, absolutely, let's go.
I'm Grace, your host, and I'm here to share a toast with Orlando's top marketing leaders. This isn't your typical business chat. We're going after hours, exploring the latest tips, trends, and strategies that drive measurable growth, all while winding down with our guest's favorite drink in hand. So grab your favorite cocktail and join us for a lively conversation that is sure to leave you buzzing with fresh ideas. Welcome to After Hours Buzz.
Well, we have Paola here with us today. One angelic in your in your presence, no matter what. But it's so exciting to have you here and learn more about your role. We know you've been with Advent Health in the marketing department and in the social media field for 4 years. So really exciting. But we'll kick it off. We always like to feature a drink on here. Call it After Hours Buzz, but we're getting a little bit of our Ollie pop in today. And as we do that, I would love to tell the listeners why you want to choose Olipop, even though you gave us a little bit of insight.
Yes. Well, it's funny. I was mentioning earlier that I wasn't regularly like a pop or soda girl. Like, these drinks turned me into a soda girl, and I love all the flavors. But I wanted to bring this in just because I love any like topical social conversations and maybe how we could see how a miss or an opportunity could be a learning for the rest of us. And the very popular competitor for Olipop, Poppy, they recently were involved in a touch of a scandal with influencers where they were sending them vending machines. And overall, that message, that campaign wasn't well received by the consumer. And Olipop really jumped in on that opportunity, and they started sending people Olipops, responding on social, saying like, hey, Poppy, we're over here doing this right. And I just like it when social feels like a little messy sometimes, because that's a space where you can have fun with this.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose Olipop today.
Awesome. Well, okay, I'm going to choose one. Oh, I feel like I don't know what to choose. You get to choose one too.
This is like it's holiday.
I know. This one's still holiday, but the ginger ale is good. Okay, you can get the adorable one. I think I'm going to try the orange squeeze.
Perfect.
I feel like that will be good.
Yeah, that's a classic flavor.
I know. Well, now I'm going to go back and I'm going to try the vanilla. I trust you in that.
Yes.
Cheers. Viola, as we get started, I'd love to hear your story, how you got to where you're at today as the senior social media specialist for Advent Health.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know I mentioned this earlier, but I eat, breathe, live, sleep, social. I love it so much. But that's not how I started in Advent. And it's not what I had my degree in. My degree is in hospitality management. And I do truly have had a passion for hospitality events. I love that. But I did kind of shift my career during the pandemic when there was a big pause in the hospitality industry. So I transitioned at Advent, and I was really open with them with my skill set, what my interests were. And they were saying that they saw me in the marketing team. So I was like, absolutely, I trust you. If you're saying that that's where you see I'd be a good fit, absolutely, let's go. And I had some really great leadership there that whenever I had an interest in other projects, they fully backed me. And one of those projects was working on our women's and children's specific Instagram and Facebook. They let me do kind of behind the scenes of filming the events that we would host and Q&As with the doctors. I love that because I always learn something new when I speak to our physicians. And from that, naturally transitioned into a role in social media because they saw that's where I really shined. I loved it. And so that's how I'm a senior specialist now.
Oh, that's so awesome. So previously in the marketing coordination role, what all were you touching? yeah, escape you into social too?
Yeah, no, that's such a good question. I had a lot of responsibilities. So one of them was onboarding our new physicians, making sure that patients knew how to connect with them. So making sure they had a profile on our website, making sure that any direct mailers, if they were accepting new patients, were being set up and sent out, as well as making sure that they were building relationships with their other physicians and knowing, of course, all of the, because I was specific to the women's and children's, that's why I keep calling back to that. Yeah. Knowing that they were familiar with all of our services, myself gaining that knowledge of all of the women's and children's services. And yeah, that's a little bit of everything what I did.
Oh, nice. For Advent Health, how many different socials do they have? Is it just the one main Advent Health, or is like there's the women's and children portion like different? Is it broken out different ways?
Yeah, that's a great question. So there is a bunch. I think where we have the largest footprint is Facebook, because all of our campus pages report out on their own Facebook. Okay. So, and Advent Health is nationwide, so not just in Florida, but in several other states. And there might be a snowstorm in our hospitals in Colorado, but of course it's a beautiful sunny day here. So those pages will report out, hey, please be aware roads are closed, but of course the hospital is always open for emergency services. So they'll report out on more localized updates in that way. But then on more platforms like Instagram and LinkedIn, we'll have only a few pages that, that can have a more generalized message. So on Instagram, we have our Advent Health brand account. We have our women's and children's. We have our a really fun page that I love, which is GME, which is for our residency program. And they're just so fun because they're college students having fun learning more about becoming fully fledged doctors. So that's a really, really fun page. So yeah, little bit of everything.
If you face different challenges than other organizations, what do you think are the biggest challenges in relation to social media that healthcare brands face than other brands don't even consider or think about?
I think a unique perspective is that it can be a variety of different audiences. So say on LinkedIn, we really try to focus on perhaps the physician to physician message, which would be very different physician to consumer or just the hospital to consumer, because the physicians, when they're talking at like the very high level research, they're very excited about the medical innovations. And of course we are as well, but that might be a little bit too high level for our consumer. I'm very open about this. Struggle with white coat syndromes, which means like I get very anxious and nervous when I go to my annual physical.
Yeah.
And we want to bridge that gap with the consumer too. We want them to see that their physician isn't, you know, this like grumpy person or bad person here to yell at you. They want to help you. They care for you. So that is also a challenge that we face, making sure that, you know, we're showing that we truly care for you as a health system. And that's what we're here to do at the end of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's incredible. So in social media, how many audiences are you targeting? So we know one is going to be the physician side, another is the consumer side. Are there any others that you guys kind of look to plan out your goals for or the content that you're creating for?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's so many audiences out there. We also have a few recruitment pages. So like the life at Advent Health, talking to our team members. So any kind of times that we're trying to meet people that are looking for positions at Advent Health. So that's another person that we try to target. The physician audience we try to target. And even in the consumers, it can be various consumers just based on whatever condition it is, perhaps. Or we also support research, which is so awesome. I'm incredibly proud to say that Advent Health funds and leads out on medical research, which is incredible.
I shouldn't know that.
Yes. And here locally as well. But finding that right audience, right? A lot of the research can be extremely niche. It has to be someone, say, and I'm just making this up off the top of my head, but say they're looking for someone who is diagnosed with diabetes and ages 30 to 35 and only females. So the consumer can be very niche sometimes.
Yeah.
But yeah, it can be a very wide scope.
Oh, wow. And then, so I know you came in, you know, kind of closer to the pandemic side, and then obviously over the last 4 years, you grew to the position that you're in. What do you think are the biggest changes that you've seen in the last 4 years under social or in in general in marketing that you guys are facing? Because like even for us, we see more of like the teledocs, right? So like online healthcare, has that affected you, or what do you think are the biggest differences from coming in the pandemic era versus what we're at today?
I love how AvenHealth has responded to those changes, like the virtual services, and they've really invested into the app services. But I think the biggest change that I've seen is the acceptance and transition really into digital and finding consumer where they are, which is online. And all of our services, wherever we are online, is formatted for mobile, of course, because that's how so many people reach us. They might be only ever seeing our website on mobile, so it is formatted in that way as well. And of course, on social, we very, very much try to make sure that everything's formatted for social first. And I've always felt like it was very, very much accepted. I came in right in the middle where everything was more so maybe like printed brochures and direct mailers and print ads. And of course, we still utilize those tactics, but I've seen very much more the transition to digital, and I love to see it.
Yeah. The life that we live, right?
Yeah,
it's like
yeah.
What we see. So it kind of makes sense as a consumer. Like I always say, for our marketing, it's always like a consumer. So from a consumer's perspective, how am I going to see it? How am I going to relate to it? You know, and kind of taking it from there. But yeah, that's great to hear. So when it comes to like planning out your social posts in general, or kind of like organizing the individual branches too that are holding on to social, how do you guys plan? Is it yearly? Is it monthly? What's kind of that content strategy that you guys have and the timeline that you implement it?
Yeah, that's a good question. So as I mentioned, we do have a large footprint on, say, Facebook. But with that, we are very privileged to have team members that they kind of own their regions or their platform. So that's very, very nice. But overall, from like the corporate level, we, of course, have social media guidelines, social media standards, and we're always there to advise on certain performance. Like if someone had a certain budget, we can advise on how to best use that budget. But we evaluate social in various ways. So we do, of course, set out our yearly goals, but then on a monthly basis, we are planning out a few months in advance what our social might look like. But with that, having the mindset that social is so in the moment, so we are ready to pivot and transition and add pieces to something timely. So if there was a big flu outbreak here in Orlando, we're already set up to be able to reach our patients and start talking about how to best avoid the flu, how to schedule a flu shot. And we can turn that around pretty quickly, even if that maybe wasn't on our content plan when we originally met like a few months ago. But so we're very mindful of that on social, things are always changing. And also, of course, in everyday life, things can change every day.
That's nice, though. So you guys give yourself the room to like be agile, because you know there's going to be changes naturally within the healthcare.
Absolutely.
And kind of going back to trends. So you brought up employee, and I feel like you are so on the trends, which may be like, okay, I need to figure this out. But how do you stay on top of social trends when you don't have things happen like flu outbreaks or certain things that you know, okay, this is immediate? How do you kind of plan and stay on top of trends that are happening to stay relevant and to just reach your goals and social
stakeholders? So we meet with our social stakeholders on a fairly regular basis, bi-weekly at minimum is when we speak to them. And that's really our time to gather as a team to talk about these trends. And it's a really fun brainstorming exercise as well. We'll have people from our different markets talking about, oh, I saw this trend of maybe the sleepy time mocktail. Yeah. Do you think that's still relevant? How can we put the AvenHealth spin on that? And we'll brainstorm and we'll have that collaborative conversation and say, well, maybe that has reached its peak, but maybe we could do and this is like totally changing subject, but we advise them maybe a day in the life of a physician.
Yeah.
We feel like that's maybe something that's a little bit more evergreen.
Mm-hmm.
And that is something that we toe the line with, trying to find the balance of, ooh, can we turn around something that's super, super trendy versus what's social that feels more evergreen?
Yeah.
One trend that I feel like we were able to hop on very, very quickly, and I thought it was so cute. I'm not sure if you saw the trend where it's like, say it's a dog and it's like, professionals say you should walk your dog more. And then like the camera flips and it's your dog. And you're like, oh my goodness, I can't believe I posted this. Like, and we had a physician, do a video like that where it's like, oh my goodness, experts say you really should schedule your physical. And then it flipped to the doctor. We're like, oh my goodness.
That's hilarious.
So that one was really cute and timely and it felt right for our brand. Right. Yeah. So that's important too, that it feels right to our brand. Because there's just some that would be like, why is a hospital system posting this?
Yeah.
Making sure that it makes sense there as well.
Of course. Yeah. It has to kind of fit those brand guidelines. And like you said, the voice of the brand, everything that goes into it. For social. So you're kind of bringing up another great point. How do you ensure that social is cohesive with the rest of the marketing that you guys are implementing, whether it's traditional methods, whether it's commercial, you know, in-house, how do you kind of make sure everything comes together and is cohesive?
Yeah. So we, again, I might sound like I'm just bragging on the team, but I really do love our processes. Yeah. We, even with our marketing teams or our comms team members, we're constantly getting updates on new campaigns. So we always, will see, pitches and what their campaign docs look like before it goes live. So we can kind of, supplement whatever their messaging is. So recently, one of our TV spots was the human spirit and just showing ways that the human spirit, well, what is the human spirit? Is it like a kid learning how to ride their bike or someone walking after, being in physical therapy? All incredible, like such lively moments. And we received all that messaging like, hey, this is going to be our commercial spot from dates X to dates Z. Why? Mm-hmm. And being asked, how can we supplement that in social? How does that feel right?
Yeah.
So it is nice to have all that synergy there, so that it does feel like the whole brand is working together.
Yeah. That's so nice. Do you guys have a set amount of campaigns that you run in a year? Or is it just change based on the year, based on what's going on in the external environment?
It just changes from year to year and where we feel like the messaging is working. Avon Health is such a growing brand that they're always building new hospitals or acquiring new hospitals. So, and of course, we'll get some notice on when this might happen, but these things can happen fairly quickly. So being able to adjust in that way.
Yeah, that makes sense. From your experience with Avon Health, is there one campaign that like is near and dear to your heart, one of your favorites?
Oh my goodness, this is a fun one. It was one of my first ones, and it was a learning in flipping from that traditional marketing efforts into a digital marketing effort. Mm-hmm. In that, and this was one of my very, very first projects, and I felt like, whoa, why am I getting like ownership of this? But it was for a campaign centered around International Women's Health Month. And I was like, this is such a great like project. And we were giving out to the consumers, anyone that signed up on this website, all you had to do was nominate a woman that you love, and just tell her a little bit about us on this website. It had a form, and we would send you a little self-care box, and included like, and it was various little goodies, but it included like essential oils, lotions, stress toys, a sleep mask, a water bottle. Like it was
amazing.
Yeah, it was something like
that I love.
But it's funny, the campaign came from, because of the pandemic, many of these promo items that we had, that we were invested in them, enjoyed them, many of them were going to be expiring within 6 months to a year. So that's how this campaign kind of came to be. We were like, we aren't doing any events where we can give out this. How can we bring this to the consumer? And so that's how that landing page was created. That's how that form was created. And I all had a hand in that. I got to create the creative that went along with it. So the landing page matched the little gift box that you got and the card that was in it as well, telling someone like, because it was a surprise for the receiver. It was saying, hey, so-and-so nominated you to get this box.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And of course, the overall message was, we really believe that healthcare should be part of your self-care routine. So that's how we tied it all together. But that was such for me, it felt like such a big campaign at the time. And it was so exciting to find that solution for this, all this promo that we had. And again, meeting our consumer where they're at, which was in their homes.
Yeah. There's so many positive like aspects from that too. And I love that it was like the surprise element too, mm-hmm. where it's almost like gifting. Like you love getting a surprise gift. You're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting this. And how sweet. That's wonderful. For your guys' social, do you guys have specific KPIs, or would you say there's specific metrics that you guys look at that show success in different campaigns? And do they vary based on the campaign sizes as well?
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, there's so many variables involved. Mm-hmm. Of course, like the budget, or if we're partnering with someone, what does their audience look like? Or how, what is their audience naturally tied into our audience? Or is it something that we're branching into that we haven't branched into before? Those are all things that we consider when we try to measure for success. And also, when we're perhaps launching a new page for a new hospital, mm-hmm. That, of course, their numbers will look very different to, say, Orlando here, which is our kind of our flagship hospital and has been here for years and years and years. So the audience just looks different. The numbers will look different. So that's all something that we calculate. And how we overall measure success is really how much we really target engagement. We want to make sure that people are watching our video. Like, the watch through rate is something that we really consider. And we also are always willing to know, you know, sometimes that campaign wasn't what was right in that moment, and how can we adjust for next time? What tweaks can we do? Maybe we don't do this exact partnership exactly the same next time. Maybe we do this partnership, but maybe in a little bit of a different way. Mm-hmm. So that is nice that, you know, we fully understand that sometimes that's just the way social works. Like, a video that you can work a month on, and you post it and you're like, oh my goodness, this is not what I thought would perform. And sometimes I've posted videos that were like shadowy and like you not the best quality, and then it got like 10,000 likes. Yeah, I'm like, what happened?
It's like you put more effort into one post, you're like, this one should be the best.
Yes.
And then the ones that you're just like, oh, I'm just gonna throw it up.
Yeah.
And then that one ends up being
Even think you're like, I don't even know if I should post this, but here you go. And yeah, and sometimes that's what resonates.
Yeah. Probably like the realness of it, you know, where people are just like, yep, that connects with me. It's a post like I would post myself.
Yeah. But
that's very useful. So I guess we could kind of go into like, what's new, you know, is there anything that you're really excited about that's coming up? Even though if you can't really do it. Like me trying to like get the scoop on like any exciting things that we can look out for, but any exciting things for this year, goals that you guys have this year, changes, whether it be team members or strategies or new things coming up.
Something that we're always excited about is our partnerships. We love highlighting how we're activating and giving back to the community. We love that. Something that we really perhaps haven't highlighted as much in social in the past, but we really want to promote is our mission trips that our team members, it's our own team members that volunteer for these mission trips. And that's definitely an opportunity for us on social to talk about that. Especially, we want to highlight our team members that are volunteering their own time to give back to these communities in need. I think that's super special. And I think as a consumer, I think I would be interested in seeing that. And again, I think it ties into, as I've said, I can be a little bit scared of going to the doctor, again, humanizing our clinical team members. But it's not just clinical team members that attend these mission trips. It is people in marketing, people in comms, people in finance that are attending these mission trips and giving back. I know one of our mission trips, they donated eyeglasses to the community. So passing that out of them, and our clinical team, they did like eye tests, like glaucoma tests and things like that. So that's something that I really am looking forward to highlighting more on social. We're also interested in seeing some new technology and tools and tech that come from social. Like, I have heard that Instagram is launching their own editing app, very similar to CapCut, which people use like to edit TikTok or other short form videos. Yeah. But we heard that Instagram is really going to be trying to compete there with their own editing app. So we're excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
And in other tools, of course, we love Canva. We're always trying to see, oh, what can Canva do next? And of course, seeing where AI can be leveraged, if it's something we want to invest in, if it's something we want to steer away from. Of course, that's a very touchy subject.
Yeah.
But we're always interested in learning and seeing new tools and how we can better our processes. And overall, again, just reaching our consumer wherever they're at. So if that means on a new platform, say they're all leaving Instagram today and it's a new platform, we're open to the transition as well.
Yeah. Are there any tools that you guys use right now that you like rely on? I know you said a couple. Mm-hmm. We're looking at Canva. Any other ones that you think are like really very helpful if you're going to be in social media across the board?
I think it really depends on where you are in social. I think if you're more of like the strategic planning side, I think you yourself just being involved in those conversations and monitoring the trends and mm-hmm. and being on social yourself is very important. But if you're more so a content producer or content editor, I think again knowing what's out there, what yeah. looks fresh is important. But always looking to take courses or little certifications to up your skills, like in Adobe Suite, like all of that, I think is very, very important. But yeah, that's our tools.
Yeah, that's awesome. Do you guys focus more on video or still images, or do you have like, what's your take on video versus still? Because we have many people who say, you know, I'd rather only do video because I feel like that's going to perform better. And then there's others where they don't have time for video. So like they have to work with those still images that they have. Do you prefer one over the other? Do you like the combination? Your spin on it.
That's a great question. We, of course, just by the numbers and what we've seen perform, we know that video is dominating the social space. Mm-hmm. So that is something that we do try to prioritize. But as you mentioned, it can be rather time consuming. And also, a lot of the times we're getting our content from our team members, whether they're, you know, not clinical or clinical. And one thing that we want to be extremely mindful of if we're asking our clinical team members to work on anything, we never want to pull them away from patients. That is something super, super important, that our patients are being seen in a timely manner, not being waited. So that is something we're extremely, extremely mindful of. And we ask a physician to, hey, we heard that you're doing your 100th surgery today. That's so awesome. We would love a clip, but if not, a photo of you guys celebrating would be amazing. So we're very, very flexible on what we ask from our teams as well.
Yeah.
But also sometimes knowing that the photos do best, like more in our local pages, like I know the Avon Health Waterman page, in the Mount Dora Tavares area, they perform the best with photos of the team members. And because they're a very community-based hospital, everyone in that community probably knows someone that works there. So they're really engaged in that area, and photos do amazing there. So sometimes it can differ from page to page.
Yeah, that makes sense. Are there certain, like for you guys, I know that you named three. Are you guys mainly on Instagram, Facebook, and then LinkedIn, like your core? Are you on any others?
We're also on YouTube. Okay. And that's where we'll drive our longer form videos, of course. And what that can consist of is maybe like an introduction to one of our medical directors. If they're leaning out on one of our key service lines, you might want to learn about our medical director and how they, a little bit about themselves, their experience, their philosophy on care. And so a lot of videos are like that, or we'll have clips of our mission trips, which again, are very special to me. I love to see those. But of course it's hard to wrap up a mission trip in 30 seconds. Yeah. So those videos are a little bit longer and live there. We'll also have, any news updates in the community or any fun updates, like when we built the Avon Health Training Center, where the Orlando Magic trained, that really required a longer form video. So things like that would live on the YouTube.
Do you know right now, like, and I know it's different because you guys have so many different audiences that you're touching and you're looking to interact with the brand, but do you know right now kind of the difference in age groups that are staying on different platforms versus like YouTube, LinkedIn, obviously use a little bit more for like that B2B aspect, but then even like Facebook and Instagram, like the difference in age brackets, do you have any insight on that you guys kind of implement?
Yes. And I completely forgot. Another platform that we're on is X.
Oh, yeah.
Like Twitter, aka.
I know. I just Twitter still. I'm like,
it's
bad.
Twitter's just so catchy. X, yeah. Like feels like I'm missing. I need to be saying more.
There's more letters I should be.
But so we are also on Twitter and, or X, formerly Twitter.
Are you doing it?
And that brings me brought me right into your question, because that is a very different audience than we see on Instagram. Yeah. So it's so funny to me because I myself am not too involved on Twitter. So it's just so interesting to me to hear from our physicians. They're getting their news from X. That's and true. So a lot of the times when we have medical conferences that we're hosting, or we have a physician that is perhaps presenting at a conference, or highlighting that they're going to be an orthopedic surgeon at, say, a local golf tournament, they want to communicate that on X, and we're getting, we're like, okay, this is where your network's at.
Yeah.
That makes sense to us. So that is a very, very different audience, very, very similar to our LinkedIn audience. And then, as you mentioned, Instagram can be very different from our YouTube. Our YouTube scale skews a little bit older in male, whereas on Instagram, we're really trying to navigate more so like the mom age, women. So that's kind of more what our audience looks like there. But I also think that naturally, that's just the largest segment of people on Instagram, like that age range. But yeah, I think our platforms tend to match what that profile looks like for the user of that platform.
Yeah, that's interesting, though. It's interesting to hear, like, the X side, because it's like, because you're not on it, naturally we like fall short to be like, okay, we understand certain audiences because we're there. But if someone's not, and then you hear from them, you're like, okay, that actually completely makes sense.
Yeah,
like, you know, just not something that you're interested in per se or using every day to understand that.
As a consumer on X, I'd probably be looking at like pop culture things and be like, oh, okay, I would never see like this conference, but this is where the physicians are. So it makes sense to us.
Yeah. So that's where we'll be. Well, I appreciate so much that you shared. The last part of our conversation, we always like to kind of call it the spill it. And so with the spill it, you just kind of share either your favorite tip, trick, tool that you use that you believe is like you wouldn't want to go a day without it, whether it would be Canva or a planning tool or a time management tool, or even a philosophy that you learned that really brought you to your career and where you're at today. So you could think about it for a second.
I wasn't expecting that, but if I had to, and I'm thinking specifically social minded, I would think my number one tip is and this is so funny. This is something that we like have said like before internally as a team, like just embracing the newness, maybe being a little bit cringy because there are so many things that are always changing on social. So I would say to really embrace things that might feel new, even though like you've had a process for years and years and years, not holding so close to that process that things can't change just because you've always done something one way doesn't mean it can't improve in a different way. And I think that is so essential in the social space because things are always changing. Platforms are being added, platforms are being shut down.
Yeah.
And so being able to be flexible and of course just seeing what works. Maybe sometimes, as I mentioned, like that blurry photo is really what the audience is liking as opposed to something that you worked 6 months on and then you put out there, and just knowing that that is just the nature of the social space, that things are always changing. Some things might really resonate with your audience, whereas other things might not. And just going with the flow. So that would be my advice.
Oh, that's perfect. I love it. Well, thank you so much for all your feedback, your insights today on our social media. And I know I've taken a lot from it. Hopefully the listeners will too.
Oh, good. So thank you.
Thank you for joining us on After Hours Buzz. We hope you enjoyed winding down with us and picking up some great marketing insights along the way. Don't forget to hit that follow button so you're the first to know when our next Marketing Happy Hour session drops. I'm Grace, here to keep the buzz going. Until next time, grab your favorite cocktail, relax, and keep those creative juices flowing. Cheers.